Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. The best and most important and most fruitful thing that we will ever do is to seek the face of the Lord. I love 1 Chronicles 16:11, which says, "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually." Let's recite that one again. 1 Chronicles 16:11. I want to encourage you to memorize this beautiful platinum nugget of a verse, because when you memorize a scripture, what it's saying, what the Lord is saying to our hearts in that verse, that divine truth is going to begin to produce in us. If you want certain crop in the ground, in your backyard or in your garden, wherever that may be, you have to make the soil fertile and plant the specific seed that will grow that crop, like such as tomatoes. A lot of us like to grow tomatoes. So you don't go get a corn seed and plant it in the ground and expect to get tomato. Now, the corn is just as valuable as the tomato, but what I'm pointing out here is the importance and the fruitfulness of seeking the face of God, because everything in our Christian life flows out of what God is doing in us. See, God has to do a work in us in order to do a work through us, and it's a great desire. If you're born again, you want God to be using you to help other people. That's amazing. But we've got to take a step back and realize that it's only in God pouring into us, as we seek Him, that He's going to flow through us and bless others. And that's what I want to talk a little bit about, is the mind of Christ. According to Philippians 2:3-5, it says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Jesus came to serve and not to be served. And He sought the Father perpetually. Jesus' prayer life is documented throughout Scripture, and there's no other gospel that records His prayer life and how He went from prayer closet to prayer closet, and in between healed the sick, raised the dead, and taught His gospel. Then the book of Luke specifically. Again, 1 Chronicles 16:11, beloved saints, seek the Lord. Seek Him. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. You or I and any other person, especially believer, on the planet has no greater need than to draw nigh to God today, to seek the face of the Lord, to seek His face continually. 1 Chronicles 16:11. Now, if we're going to get honest, we've got to realize that if we're not seeking God, it's because there is something that are more important in our lives than Christ. If we aggrandize, if we value, if we love, and are truly going to worship our Lord Jesus Christ as the first priority love of our lives, we're going to have to first begin with repentance, fresh repentance. Now, sometimes we view repentance as something that happened when Jesus saved us. He brought us to a place of recognizing that we're sinful, we've sinned against Him, and we're undone in the eyes of a holy God. We were convicted and we repented. But Scripture teaches that repentance is necessary not only initially, but throughout the course and the continuum of our Christian life. Now, if you're not seeking God, friend, I would encourage you to repent of self-idolatry and of the sin of self-idolatry and of spiritual adultery, and to get before the Lord today and to call upon Him for His mercy in repentance, falling afresh on His mercy and asking Him to forgive you and naming those sins for exactly what the Bible says they are, and that would be adultery. You have an adulterous heart. You have lusted after the things of this world. You have greedily sought those things, and you have worshiped the God of self, and that's not a savior. You see, you've worshiped self instead of the only savior, Jesus Christ. And Jesus addressed this in the church at Ephesus, and he called them to repent. He used that word repent. Now, get a King James Bible, because the new fake Bibles remove the word repent. That should be all it takes for you to burn those absolute catastrophes of demonic corruption and the cheap substitute of those fake Bibles. Repent is a word that we see in the King James Bible, and it's there for a reason, to strike a conviction in the depths of our hearts, to bring us to repentance. And when you repent, you're going to receive the refreshing of the Lord. According to Acts chapter 3, verse 19, we see first the R word, repentance, and then we see refreshing. If you really want to be refreshed, we've got to be real with God and honest, gut level, absolutely honest. Notice it says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So we see the principle there that when we repent, we're going to be refreshed. Amen. Those who truly love God are learning today to endure sound doctrine. Notice that's a phrase we find in 2 Timothy 4:3, when it says that counterfeits, those who have a mere form of godliness, they claim to be Christian, but they're not. They're backslidden. They're away from God. They're not ready to meet Christ. In fact, they're dangling over the fires of eternal damnation by a spider thread. See, they don't endure sound doctrine. Now, what does that mean, endure? They don't hold themselves accountable to it. They won't even face it. You see, because men love darkness rather than light, because their own deeds were evil. John 3:19-21. So we must endure. We must choose. We must make the quality decision in seeking the Lord that we're going to endure sound doctrine. We're going to do things God's way. Amen. Not our own way. And that requires the cross, the crucifixion of the self life and the principle of self. Okay. Enduring sound doctrine is to peer into, to migrate, to be drawn unto hard biblical truth, holding ourselves accountable to it, not evading it, not migrating away from it, the hard truths, that is, but hastening toward them, praying for God's grace and mercy to bring those things to pass in our lives. Amen. To fall upon the sword and be circumcised, to fall upon the rock and be broken, so that later we're not crushed by that rock, that stone, Christ, who is the rock, in judgment. Okay, that's what Jesus taught. It's Matthew chapter 21, verse 44. Notice Jesus says, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. Amen. We want a brokenness, a beautiful brokenness, with a contrite heart of flesh before the Lord. Scripture highly aggrandizes such. For example, Psalm 34:18 and Psalm 51:17. Notice, whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. It will destroy him in judgment later. Notice Psalm chapter 34, verse 18. The Lord is nigh or close unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalm 51:17 likewise says, the sacrifices of God, that which he wishes for us to offer to him and to allow him to do in our lives, are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Amen. May God bless us to have a broken and a contrite heart, a heart of contrition before him today. Amen. We're talking about enduring sound doctrine, not evading it, but hastening toward it in all honesty, saying, Lord, I don't understand how this works. It doesn't feel good, because I've got to lay this idol down, this idol of self that I've been trusting from my birth. But I know that you are greater than all, and that you died to save me, and you saved me that I would receive and be co-crucified with you. Romans 6, folks, we've got to be experiencing a co-death with Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that your dying atones for your sins. No. Well, here's what I'm talking about. Romans 6, beginning in verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized, not in water, but baptized into Christ, into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried, notice, with him. There's the co-death. We are buried with him. So I just wanted to make this real clear that we're not teaching some strange doctrine here. Your death, your dying to self, is in following Christ according to the instructions of Scripture, like we're reading right here. And as Jesus taught throughout the Gospels, to deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow him. Okay, that doesn't atone for your sins. Christ alone, his death and his perfect, precious, divine blood shed on the cross is the only thing that atones for your sins. And yet the same Jesus that died on that cross also commanded you and expects you, if you're going to follow him. Now, if you're not following him, you're certainly not heading toward heaven. That's for sure. Okay, you can't do your own thing and get to God's holy heaven. He requires that in order for you to appropriate his salvation, but both initially and to the end of your life, and at that last day to be received into glory with him, he requires that you deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. Otherwise, you're not following him. And somebody might say, wait a minute, brother, it's by faith. That's right. And faith is all saving faith, that is. See, because even the devils believe and tremble. They have faith, but they're not going to be saved. James 2:19. If you have real faith, you're an obedient Christian who loves God and worships him above all else, especially above the God of self. So don't give me this fake faith stuff that doesn't have works, okay? Because true saving faith always produces good works. Now, the problem some of you have had is that you've listened to false teachers siphon out little truths here and there and paint a picture that doesn't appear in Scripture. Now, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's for sure. Hebrews 11:6. So everything starts with repentance and faith. And yet, if you truly have faith, you're going to be, see, he said, you're saved by grace through faith, and you are his workmanship, and you are to maintain good works. See, the evangelical world wants to completely discount good works, but it's all over the Bible. In fact, John the Baptist said, if you really repent, you'll show forth fruit meet for repentance, or consistent with, that proves that you've truly repented. If you're not living a God-glorifying life where Christ is reigning in your life, check whether or not you've really repented. Find out what that word really means and pray to God to grant your heart. Any and all of us can definitely prosper. To pray today that God would grant true repentance all the way in the depth of your bosom. Amen. And it will always result in a changed life that glorifies God. Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. There it is. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, when you are drawing nigh to God, you're the light of Christ is shining into you and you responding with faith, there's going to be good works. Matthew 5:16. Amen. Therefore, he says, Romans 6:4, we are buried with him. We're buried with him by baptism into death. See, baptism or immersion into Christ. This is not even talking about water baptism, although water baptism depicts this. Amen. That like as Christ, here's the resurrection. First, we have the death and burial. Now, here's the resurrection. And we must grasp and pray for this cross concept, this gospel concept of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ that he desires to see happen in our lives every day. We must pray that this, in fact, we pray right now, Lord, that you would cause this truth, your divine truth, to permeate the depth of our being, Lord, as only you can do. In Jesus' name, teach us thy ways, O God. In Jesus' name, amen. See, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. I don't know about you, but the old life, the old man brings nothing but misery and shame and guilt. And so when I read about this resurrection life of Christ, this newness of life, Paul says, Romans 6:4. It makes me want to walk in this. Amen. It's so refreshing, such a blessing, such a pure sense and feeling and stuff. You know, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen. We could keep reading here in Romans 6. I highly encourage you to make Romans 6 a paramount chapter of prayerful study and praying as we just prayed that God would make this gospel, death, burial, and resurrection life, this cross life, that he would make it real to our lives, to our hearts, and that we would wake up every day looking for a demotion, not looking to promote self, but laying ourselves before the Lord and crying out to God to anoint us to be crucified with Christ, dead and buried, so that God is raising up and compelling us. He is living and breathing in us, just like we see in Galatians 2:20. Have you memorized this truth, this cross motto, if you will? I am crucified with Christ, Paul said. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Yet instead we see, instead of crucifying the deeds of the body, many a counterfeit today claiming to be saved runs to the fake preachers, the wolves, you know, those who feed the lust of our flesh and our love for the things of this world. Well, it's guaranteed biblically that eternal damnation awaits those. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John 2:15. The cross vision, get a vision of the cross as we just prayed, beloved. Seek, desire, and study and pray that God gives us a vision of this cross life. This is the instructions of the Lord. This is the way God calls us to follow him, and therefore following him or attempting to any other way than that which he prescribed is absolutely going to bring death, not only here, but in eternity. Because if you live after the flesh, Paul said, you shall surely die. But if you, through the Holy Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Amen. The cross vision is the vision of how God ordains your life and my life to work. Amen. That we would be conformed to the image of Christ, the crucified image of Christ. Romans 8:29. That's what God has foreordained, that we walk in it. So as you love, as we worship, as we obey the Lord, as we give our lives to him and worship the whole of our being, that is, his love is going to fill us and be poured out through us in the resurrection life of Christ, who will always reciprocally raise us up as we choose to submit to death and burial. That's doing it God's way. And when that begins to happen in your life as a born-again believer, it's going to revolutionize everything. Not only everything in you, but everything around you, your circumstances, the life of Christ shining and emanating out of your life, touching the lives of others. It's going to change everything. If you're like me, you're going to begin to shake your head and go, wow, what took me so long? Oh, God, forgive me for doing things sinfully my own way. Oh, God, have mercy on me, Lord. Let me be dead and buried deeper and deeper, that you might raise me up and be glorified in this life, oh God, in Jesus' name. You see, in this cross walk, in this cross life, saints, self-absorption, which is what we're all born in sin with, but self-absorption is going to be replaced with Savior consumption and the conquering power of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in our lives. As death works in you, Christ's life, his divine life, is going to work through you. Remember, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:12, so then death worketh in us, there it is, the death and burial, but life in you. See, as Paul and those that ministered with him were crucified with Christ, the life of Jesus was working, flowing through them into the lives of others and changing the lives of others. Because you see, friend, it's only God that can do his work through us. You see, when we get saved, many of us, we try to do God's work in our flesh. But now God is wanting to mature us and to bring us deeper and to show us that it's only in dying that we live. It's only in the principle of the seed going down into the ground. The seed is always dead. And seeds can last for, what I understand, at least decades, if not longer. Notice Jesus is saying here in John 12, he says, verily, verily, verse 24. Now he's speaking of his own death, but this also applies to us. Except a corn or a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. It just sits there. It does nothing. It does not bring forth life. But if it die and bring, it bringeth forth much fruit. And that's what's going to happen in our lives as we choose to do things God's way and say, Lord, I surrender afresh. I repent of doing things my own way. I repent of the love of self, self-idolatry and spiritual adultery, where I have alienated my heart affections away from you, dear Lord, as my first love. Forgive me, Lord. You see, as we choose to die, cry out to God to anoint us. See, a lot of people are running around talking about the anointing, but notice they never cry out to God. They're taught by false teachers to look for some anointing that makes them the man or the woman of the hour and brings attention to them. That's a complete contradiction to the teachings of Jesus. No, we are to cry out to God according to many scriptures, including Romans 8:13-14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You want to be full of God, full of the Holy Ghost, anointed of God. Notice verse 13. These go together. We've got to be crucified with Christ. Notice, if ye through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. You're not alone in this thing. The Holy Ghost is our helper, our comforter. He's going to help us and anoint us and actually enable us to be dead and buried so that Christ can raise us up. In the same passage, verse 11, the Bible promises us, what an exciting promise, that he that raised up Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit dwells in you to quicken or make alive your mortal body in raising you up as you choose to be dead and buried, to be crucified with Christ. Amen. So Jesus says, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. It just sits there. It's ineffective. It's fruitless. But if it die, it doesn't only bring forth fruit, it bringeth forth much fruit. Notice in the 37th chapter of Isaiah, I love this verse. This is such a gospel verse. Remember, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4 defines it as such. And God wants this same death, burial, and resurrection to work in our daily life. This is the cross vision. Notice the remnant, he says here, Isaiah 37:31, I want you to memorize this verse and meditate upon it and share it with other believers. Notice, and the remnant that has escaped of the house of Judah, notice the remnant. See, among the many who profess to be saved, to be Christians in the world today, there's only a remnant, a residue, a small portion of them who really know the Lord and are going to be with him eternally. Notice, the remnant that has escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward. There's the death and burial right there. And bear, what happens when we take root downward? And bear fruit upward. There's the resurrection. The seed, when it falls into the ground and dies, it's going to bring forth much fruit. But there will be no resurrection. There will be no fruit bearing that glorifies God unless there's an abiding life with Christ in his prescription, his cross prescription, which is that we be dead and buried and that he reigns in our lives. And he's not going to do that. He's not going to raise us up if we don't choose to be dead and buried. The cross life means we are following Jesus, who conquered by dying. Notice Hebrews 2:14. Stop for a minute and meditate on that. Jesus conquered by dying, by submitting his whole self to the Father. He did nothing and said nothing that he didn't first see the Father do. He cried out before he went to the cross, not my will, but thine be done. He conquered by dying, not my will. See, he died to his own will. He had his own will. He was all God and all man. Otherwise, he would not have said, not, notice, my will. He had a will, but he chose to die to his will for the greater glory of the Father to accomplish his plan of redemption. as only he could do. So Jesus conquered by dying. Many times we want to conquer by rising up and taking things into our own hands. That's a natural motion of the flesh life. But God calls that flesh life, that self-will, to be crucified. Notice Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that is the mankind, he also, Jesus also, so likewise took part of the same. In other words, the Word, the eternal Word of God, Jesus Christ, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And here's why. That through death, notice, through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. So Jesus defeated the devil by dying. You and I are going to defeat sin. Well, Jesus not only defeated the devil, he defeated sin by dying. And that's the only way you and I are going to defeat sin and Satan. And what gives Satan place in our lives? Sin does. Notice James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, there's a truth there that we must grasp. Satan only has legal right in our lives. God allows him to wreak havoc, to have influence, to manipulate and deceive us and control us and dominate us and to steal, kill, and destroy from us. He's only allowed to do that if we're not submitting to God. And that's how we began this message about seeking the Lord. If you're not seeking the Lord, you're not submitted to God, beloved. See, seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. That was 1 Chronicles 16:11. When you're seeking God, it's because you're submitting yourself to God. And that's not a one-time thing. That pertains to right now, beloved. Are you seeking God today? Is he first in your life? Okay, friends, let me finish with this. It's James 4:8-10. Let's start actually in verse 6, James 4:6. Now, this is just such a beautiful passage. I want to encourage you. I want to direct your attention to it, to choose to pore over this passage on a regular basis. Notice, but he giveth more grace, verse 6. God gives more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resists the proud. He sets himself against those that have pride in their hearts, so that will not seek him and rely upon him, but rather choose to rely on and trust the God of self, the feeble God of self. See, God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. I don't know about you, but I want God's grace to be multiplied in my life, as Peter prayed in 2 Peter 3:18. Amen. I want my heart to be established, don't you, with the grace of God. Hebrews 13:9. Amen. So God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's exactly how we overcome the devil right there. That's the most powerful warfare scripture in the Bible. Anybody teaching spiritual warfare that doesn't include true repentance at its absolute root and the cross life is absolutely a false teacher. See, there's a lot of people running around teaching what they call spiritual warfare. They're actually bringing witchcraft on people. It's nothing but a bunch of witchcraft. Rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. See, rebellion doesn't repent. Notice here, submit yourselves therefore to God. That is submitting yourselves in repentance, which is an essential, not only initially, but all the way through your life, that you come back to ground zero at the foot of the cross and you lay down your life dead and buried. It's over. You are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians 3:3, memorize it, pore over it, meditate on it. You are dead. Thank God I'm dead. I have no possibility. Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? He was filled up to overflowing with the filth of self. Are you fed up, beloved? I don't know about you. I get more fed up with the flesh and the self life and the motions of sin. Romans 7, Paul used that term, every day. It's absolutely disgusting. The closer we get to God, the more our innermost being, our spirit, is going to say, oh, it's going to be grieved at even the thought of sin. Paul also said, there is no good thing that dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. Outside of Christ, beloved, there's no good thing that dwells in you. You are not a good person. You are a wicked, iniquitous sinner outside of Christ. And it's not just a positional thing. It's got to become a practical reality in your daily life where Christ reigns, not you. You have nothing good to offer, neither do I. So he says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Be crucified with Christ. In other words, resist. Then you're able to have, then the power and the authority of Christ is in you to resist the devil, to overcome through dying. Amen. Like Jesus did, Hebrews 2:14. And guess what? He will flee from you. See, remember Jesus in the wilderness, Luke 4. He submitted himself to the Father. See, there's the pre-death before he went to the cross, but he was crucified to self-will. And therefore, he issued forth the word of God and defeated the devil. In the same way as you're crucified, you're submitted to the Lord, by the way, on his terms, not yours. And that's the cross that you must be crucified with him. You're able to resist the devil and he will flee from you. He has to. He has no more legal right. Verse 8, draw nigh to God. Draw close to God. He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Father, in the name of Jesus, teach us your ways, O God. Anoint us to the burial of self, that Christ alone might reign in our lives. Let us be dead and our lives hid with Christ in God this day, O God. Heretofore, till Christ returns, in Jesus' name.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several mini books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.